We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
What's the best way to get into our 5 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon with Sunday Night Football coming to town? The man who is the voice of Sunday Night Football. Nice enough to join us here on Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky, the legend that is Al Michaels. Thank you very much for your time today, Al. We've been running after you all week, and finally, our producer got you to cave. Thank you so much.
He's a great man, and I'm happy to be with you guys. And anytime I can be on anything with Ray Ratto, since I sit here in Palo Alto and I look over the city and think of the days when Ray Ratto cut his eye teeth at the Palo Alto Times. I couldn't wait for that paper to wind up in the driveway.
You couldn't wait for that paper to wind up in the bushes.
True, but I couldn't wait to get that paper to see what the closing stock prices were. That's how you got them in those years. But I knew you were sitting at the knee of the great Leonard Coppett, and we go all the way back, Raymond, all the way back.
So let's start with the easy one. How many times are you going to have to talk about Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the town that once loved him?
Well, it's a story that's been told so many times, and obviously, you know, we go into what happened. We don't beat it over the head, though. You can't do that. People know what's going on. I think people just want to see how he's going to play and what's going to happen. And, I mean, I think everyone knows how it played out. We'll talk to him. Maybe we'll glean something from him when we have our meeting with the Packers tomorrow. But, you just don't regurgitate stuff that's been out there. So we won't beat it over the head. But I think, you know, the more interesting thing is going to be, what do you see from him? What do you see from that team? I mean, they laid the all-time egg on opening day. They didn't play particularly well in the first half the other night. Second half, they played well against Detroit. But we'll find out, I think, who the Packers are. We might find out on the other side, who the 49ers really are this season in week three.
When you say you don't regurgitate things, I have a question.
Oh, boy.
How many years have you been in television?
A lot, and radio, too. And you know what? You try not to regurgitate things. That's all you can hope for. Because, you know, I think people get worn out hearing the same things over and over and over. We live in this world today where everybody's got to get has to have, you know, 114 different takes on stuff. So, you know, now that you got now that I'm the one who brought up regurgitate, I'm trying to think, and I'm going to go to dinner here in an hour and a half. So that's not a good word to have in my brain, I can tell you that.
Well, I don't want to make it worse, Al, but when it comes to radio, I dare you to spend 4 hours a day in a studio with Ray Ratto and avoid regurgitating. As far as the game goes, the Packers quarterback situation has gotten a tremendous amount of attention, but I think arguably the more interesting quarterback story is the Niners. And I'm wondering, spending a little time in Ninerland this week, what is the impression you get of the 49ers quarterback situation, let's call it?
Well, I think Garoppolo is a guy who really assesses things very calmly and coolly. And he did, I mean, in New England, sitting behind Brady all of those years, and then he finally gets his opportunity here. and you know, two of his seasons here get derailed by injuries. But we were with Jimmy earlier today, just a couple of hours ago, and he knew what was coming down. You know, when in Green Bay they drafted Love, Rodgers didn't know about it. And that's when, you know, the famous story about Rodgers going to his liquor cabinet, you know, and having four fingers of tequila. Jimmy told us they kept him apprised of what was going to happen. And, you know, he said, fine. He wants to, you know, compete for the job. And I think that's his mindset. That's who he is. He also said, you know, some of the things that they're bringing in for Trey Lance are helping him, you know, the verbiage and certain different little things. So I think, look, both situations are going to be interesting. What happens after next year or this year for Rodgers? I think Jimmy is signed through 2022. I mean, if he plays well, if they get to the Super Bowl, if he has a really great year, you don't throw him out either, I don't think, at this particular point. So, you know, it could be a case of Lance is going to be the guy of the future. You know, when does the future come? That's going to be the question. Does it come next year? Does it come in 3 years? Just when? And we don't know right now.
Al Michaels in town with Sunday Night Football, and you said you've already sat down with the Niners. Did you get the sense that Kyle Shanahan is over answering quarterback questions, or maybe he gave you a better performance than he's been given to the local media lately, because he seems over us, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, you guys have to deal with him every day, and we, you know, we only come in, you know, on horseback once in a while. So no, we discussed it, and he, you know, we just basically wanted to know, you know, in what situations he might use Lance. I mean, he used him on opening day. I think he was in for four plays, threw a touchdown pass, had a couple of runs. Didn't use him at all last week, which, you know, in watching that game, I was a little surprised, especially the way the 49ers were playing in the first half. He thought he might put Lance in there to just give him a jolt. But, I mean, he gets it. Kyle understands what's going on. And, you know, we don't sit there and badger him and texture him and ask him the same questions over and over. We get it. We understand it. We're just looking for, you know, when might we look for Trey Lance on Sunday night? In what circumstances?
When might Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever is playing quarterback look for Brandon Ayuk is one of the things that we're going to be keeping an eye on this week. And I hope it's something that Chris Collinsworth will get into in the meat and potatoes of his broadcast. A player in a rookie year, which was as choppy as any rookie year could be for a number of reasons, looked very good, and he's an afterthought through 2 weeks. Now, maybe that all changes this week, and we won't talk about it again, but if Brandon Ayuk doesn't have many targets, I think we might have a story that a lot of people don't understand so far.
It's early. It's really early. Don't forget, you got another receiver on that team who leads the league in receiving yards, Deebo Samuel. So, I mean, he's going to see a lot of the action. You know, throw it to use, check. They got different ways to go about it. And I think, you know, Ayuk is the kind of guy, yeah, I mean, he can break a game open for you. And we saw him last year, I think, in the game in, I think, Philadelphia, where the high hurdle, you know, looked like Edwin Moses. I mean, he's a really good player. There's no question about it. You got George Kittle. So, I mean, he certainly has enough guys to spread it around. I think it's basically a case of, you know, Ayuk just not, you know, necessarily being in the flow over the first 2 weeks. It doesn't mean he's not going to go out and catch 10 passes for 180 yards on Sunday night.
What have you seen so far that you absolutely can trust as absolute proof of what a team is in Week 10?
In Week 10?
What have you seen in the first 2 weeks that you expect to be true in Week 10?
Well, that's a great question, but you look, if you went to the 49ers season last year and you looked at what happened in Week 2, you know, you sort of knew what Week 10 might look like because everybody was in the hospital or at least undergoing surgery. To me, Ray, the whole thing, I mean, if you can stay healthy, do you realize how healthy the Tampa Bay Bucs were last year? They lost almost nobody. Everybody comes back this year. They're obviously a really good team. The Niners last year used 84 players, which was tied for the most in the history of the National Football League with Miami in 2019 that excluded, you know, the strike year of 87 when they brought all the guys in off the street. So, you know, if you were to tell me, okay, you're going to have all of these guys, this is a good team. But if you're going to tell me they're going to lose Bosa last year or Kittle or the quarterback goes down, that's why you can never tell us. It's so hard in week three because you just don't know what that injury report is going to look like as the season progresses.
Speaking of the injury report, an awful lot of the guys on it happen to play the running back position. And, I guess what we're coming to wonder here is that the one position where with this coaching staff, maybe it just doesn't matter?
I think it matters, but, I mean, you know, they're really good at scheming up a running game. It's so funny because we did the Baltimore-Kansas City game last week, and when we walked into our meeting with John Harbaugh, it was like walking in with Kyle today. I mean, he had nobody. And they were, you know, they had Latavius Murray coming. They had Tywan Williams, who was on the practice squad. And, of course, they went out and then ran for about 250 yards. Of course, the quarterback is Lamar Jackson, so that helps your running game a little bit. I think in this particular case, I think it's just a matter of getting the timing down. I mean, when you think about it, with Garoppolo, I mean, he's handing off to guys that he barely knew, a week ago. You got this Trenton Cannon who comes in. I think Casey's hurt. Mitchell may be hurt again. They bring in Patrick from the Cincinnati practice squad. So I know you have to spend a little bit of time during the week in addition to practicing your plays, practicing your handoffs, getting your timing down. So I think scheme-wise, they can do very well. The offensive line, of course, is big. You got big Trent Williams up there, and you know Alex Mack has sort of solidified the middle of the line. So I expect them, especially against Green Bay's defense, which looks to be a little porous, at least at the beginning of the season. I think you know the running game should hold up, but it's not going to be as good as it obviously would be with Raheem Mostert.
Forget about the 49ers or Rams winning the West. Let's get into the real question about winning the West. Who do you got, Giants or Dodgers?
Oh, I thought you were going to go to the Arizona Cardinals when we were talking about who could win. I was thinking of the other West.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants could win 104 games and finish in second place, for goodness sakes.
And not only that, you know, and then have that one game play-in. You know, so you go through a whole season, you play all of those games, and then, you know, you have one night, you're out just because you have a bad night. I mean, it's crazy the way that thing lines up. But, hey, I have a little bit of experience with that. When I was with the Cincinnati Reds in 73, I think we had the best record in baseball, won 100 games. That was the year in the East. The Mets had a record of 82 and 79. They didn't even have to play a rained-out game because the division was so horrible that they won the division playing one less game than they had to. So they're three games over 500. The Reds are the big red machine coming off a World Series appearance the year before. What happens in the playoffs? The Mets won. And that cost me a chance to do the World Series on NBC. Do you think I still get that bitter taste in my mouth? I'm regurgitating that just for Ray.
There you go. The fact that you have any broadcasting regrets is bad news for the rest of us who have yet to accomplish anything in our careers. But I have to ask you, have you seen, and what do you think, of the Brothers Manning broadcast that is complementing, I guess, the Monday Night Football broadcast? Have you seen any of it?
I have. Yeah, I watched maybe half an hour on opening night. I was in and out of it the other night for a couple of segments. Number one, both those guys are great. I have such respect and admiration. I've had a lot of fun with both of them. They are terrific. I think it's... You know, I heard people say it's a gimmick. It's a little bit of a gimmick in the sense that you're asking people to do something apart from watching a game conventionally. I think it's entertaining. I think those guys have had some fun. I mean, they brought Charles Barkley, and I saw that was fun. But I think if you're a fan and you want to watch the game, you have to see the conventional broadcast because Peyton and Eli are not at the game. They're watching on monitors. They're doing a little side stuff, which is funny and all the rest. But to me, I think if you want to watch the game, you'll watch the conventional telecast. And I think they've done fairly well. I think they had something like 1.8 million last week. But the The game itself had about 14 million, so you're still talking about a, I don't know, 7-1 ratio in terms of the conventional versus what they're trying to do on ESPN2. So I think this is something that will have some legs. Will everybody try it? I don't think so. I don't think it's that easy to find a Peyton Manning and an Eli Manning to go do this in other places. So you can have a secondary telecast. But again, for me, I want to, you know, if I want to watch the game, I'm watching the main attraction or the main feed.
Well, certainly Sunday Night Football, the main attraction and the main feed every week in the NFL. Levi Stadium this week, and oh boy, I know you're about to head to dinner, but I have to ask you about what comes up next on your broadcasting menu. Bucks, Patriots next week at Foxborough. I heard that that's going to get a big audience.
I think so. I think, you know, obviously, because of, you know, the computer determining the schedule, you knew that Tampa Bay was going to have to play New England. And so that game became, you know, a game in Foxborough. And obviously, I mean, every network wanted that in the worst way. We felt fairly confident that we were going to get the game, and we did. And then it was a matter of where do you put the game? Do you put it in week four? Do you open with it? You know, Tampa Bay was, well, of course, they would have had to open at home, so you couldn't have had it there. Do you wait for week 10? You don't know. So I think our feeling basically was at NBC to do it sooner than later. October, early October is a good time to do it. For the next 3 or 4 weeks after that, you're running into baseball as well, you know, the World Series and the playoffs and other stuff, so that they can, that can nibble into your audience. This way, you got the whole night to yourself. It's going to be an electric night, obviously. And again, here we go again. You're going to have so much stuff that gets regurgitated all week long, you know, over and over and over and over. By the time we get there, I mean, we're just going to cover the game. Here we go. Obviously, we're going to open up. Brady's coming out. You got to see what the crowd reaction is going to be. I think it'll be terrific for him. And yeah, then, he gave him 20 fantastic years. I don't think there's any bitter feelings toward him. And then you kind of let it play out. And once you get through all of that, and Brady's coming back, and here he is, and, you know, unbelievable, and the shots of Belichick and blah, 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 and Bob Kraft, then, is in the words of the former partner, the great and good and the best, John Madden, he said, you know, you have all this stuff before the game, you prepare like crazy, and then all of a sudden, a game breaks out. So that game will break out, and we'll cover it.
When a game breaks out, it's wonderful to have you there. You are a part of every football fan's life and have been. And I don't want to read another article about when you may or may not be retiring. Al Michaels forever. That's all we're asking, Al. Can you broadcast forever, please?
Well, I'm going to try, but I want to just try to outlast Rattle if I can. Is that possible or what?
Don't make me throw up.
Now we got more regurgitation. Have a great dinner tonight, Al. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Al Michaels here on 95.7 The Game. You get the victory lap that one, Lucas. Nice job. Very nice job. By the way, two-thirds of the Sunday night crew will be appearing on 95.7 The Game because I have been informed that in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, Michelle Tafoya is joining the boys.
Hey,
so, oh
right.
Boy, Michelle Tafoya coming up. And obviously, Collinsworth has no love for
wow.
us.
Wow. Wow, Chris.
Come on.
Wow.
Chris.
I bet you're afraid, Chris. All right. Did you notice the humble brag there?
You know, it was the biggest game of the year. I was fairly confident we'd get it on Sunday Night Football.
Well, yeah, NBC
you knew damn well that was your game.
NBC didn't drop a billion plus to maybe get that game.
No, that game was ticketed for Amazon Prime till the last minute.
We decided that's going to be a YouTube game, guys.
Man.
That's when you know the NFL is too arrogant to fail. So I go, you know what? We're going to make the game that you desperately want impossible to get.
Yeah.
Should I put it on BBC4?
Al Michaels joining us prevented me from getting to what I really thought would be what I've been saving for the beginning of our 5 o'clock hour.
You messed up the show again, Lucas.
Yeah. Damn it. That Al Michaels conversation got in the way of the plan we had.
Actually,
Lucas is a
degenerate. Before you get to the plan, there is news.
Uh-oh. Give me news.
The NBA has denied Andrew Wiggins' religious exemption request.
Oh. Well, that's no surprise.
It's not a surprise, but they announced it just like while we were talking with Al.
There you go.
Interesting.
Again, if you've ever received treatment from a doctor, why stop now? it's nuts. I really hope that logic finds him, or he's no longer useful to the Golden State Warriors and what they do going forward with him. How about this? Maybe Wiggins doesn't play, and Jonathan Kuminga gets the opportunity to go out there and step into a career that dwarfs what Andrew Wiggins has been able to give this team, and we're just all living in Kuminga's world, and Andrew Wiggins, don't let it hit you where the good Lord split you.
I mean, look, having young players that could be exciting, whether it's Kuminga, who might actually play the position, or whether it's Wiseman or Moody, that's the sort of thing that can make an otherwise stinky season smell a little sweeter. But make no mistake, if Andrew Wiggins does not play, the Warriors are much worse off.
Oh, I agree. Andrew Wiggins became such a expected quality participant in last year that you didn't even see him or appreciate him. He was just counted on. He showed up for work. He went to work. He normally got it done. I have no idea what just flew off your microphone stand.
It's a little frightening, but I think we're okay.
I wouldn't go touching your microphone with your hands.
My God.
I don't know what just happened, but something went flying.
It jumped right off.
Off of Matt's microphone arm that I don't even know was attached to it in the first place. Your microphone.
Did that fall from the ceiling?
Your microphone is throwing things at the rest of the show.
Well, it's just annoyed that Al Michaels got in the way and ruined our plan for the 5 o'clock hour.
So Josh Norman was the original plan for the 5 o'clock hour, and he can be the plan right now because Josh Norman talked to the media today. Or was this yesterday? It was maybe yesterday. Today's the day we've got to whack it up. And I couldn't believe how interesting Josh Norman officially is and is presenting himself to be. First of all, when talking about getting ready for Aaron Rodgers, he brought up Lord of the Rings.
He's the best of the best, top of his game, whether he played this offseason or not. Like, when that guy plays, he's always a special talent in our league. I called him Gandalf the White. He always have been there for me. When I play that guy, I always play 100%. It's kind of a cat and mouse game with the DB and the quarterback in the sense of, you know, where he want to go with football and knowing that you're up every time he has a ball in his hands and drop back. So being key on my assignment, alignment, and perfect execution is the only way that's going to, you know, beat that guy back there. He's been doing it for a long time. And like I said, he's one of the best at the game doing it. Just got to, you know, have more plays than he.
First of all, I had no idea that Josh Norman talked in such a delightful tone and cadence. He sounds like he could be an R&B DJ. He sounds fantastic. Calling Aaron Rodgers Gandalf the White is fantastic. And he is right. There's a guy who probably doesn't need much of an off-season workout program to come in here and torch you if he's feeling it on any given night.
No doubt. And just quickly, I mean, to say Gandalf the White as opposed to just Gandalf, I feel like Josh Norman's not just a movie guy. Like, he read the books. He's a Tolkien reader, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, when he was in Carolina, he was sort of their version of Richard Sherman. You didn't miss those pressers.
He was more bombastic, though. And there's something about the calmer, less. I mean, this was a relatively. Listen, Josh Norman still likes him some Josh Norman. But this was a relatively humble press conference, I guess. It was not all trash talk. It was a thoughtful guy.
Right. Well, so before we get into what he thinks of playing around Fred Warner, who he's very, very impressed with as a new teammate, before he gets into a little breakdown on what Devontae Adams might have for him in the shimmy and shake, here is just Josh Norman about the doubters. And if this doesn't prove to you that this guy 100% needs to join this show for an interview as soon as possible, I don't know what will. How about this for an answer? What do you think of the doubters and what role they play, Josh, in your motivation?
Where would we be if we didn't have doubters? You know, there wasn't haters. Would Adam would have ate the apple? Would we have sin in the world today? You know, you got to go back to the beginning of it all, but man, that's just life. You pick and choose how you choose to deal with that. You can listen to it or you can continue to do what you've always done and rise above it. And for me, I'm going to get that. always going to get that. No matter what, until the day I leave this earth, I'm just going to it just happens. Either you're with it or you're not.
The haters, again, you can't have religion without sin. You can't have Adam without the devil. I mean, like, this guy is something else. I love that answer. I absolutely love that answer. Here he is on Davante Adams, who you would think he's going to spend a little time covering on Sunday night.
He grows every year, too. You think you figure it out, and then he just, you know, evolve his game into something else, which is pretty cool to go out on the field and face a guy like that, because he's always going to show you something different. It's kind of cool because I like going against guys that, you know, elevate their game instead of staying the same, because you kind of get a beat on them. It's fun to watch him, and I sure hell know it's going to be fun to play him. So I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, man, him and A-Rod got a special connection. Every time I played him, those guys lock in on each other. And you can see that from my point of view, just looking in on them both. They know what they want to do, and it's going to be quite a challenge, but it's going to be a fun one, though.
That reminds me of, I think it was Baldinger who was talking about the way Adams was describing the work he did at the release to the Jets receivers. Yeah, that was a Baldy story.
Yeah.
To be Davante, when you're Julio Jones, it's not to say Julio Jones doesn't work on his craft, because clearly he does, but you have certain built-in advantages. You're a giant.
Right.
You know, like you can body almost every defensive back in the league off of a ball. To be one of the best receivers in the league, Davante Adams has to be an absolute technician. And I think that's kind of what Josh Norman's talking about, right? Like, this isn't just a guy who goes out there and runs past you. This is a guy who studies his craft and expands it on a year-to-year basis.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was his rep in Carolina as well, is that he was I hate to keep using the reference, but he was sort of the next generation Richard Sherman while Richard Sherman was still Richard Sherman. Is that he was advancing sort of the cerebral nature of what has always been a very physical craft. And so I'm not surprised, A, that he's incredibly articulate about talking about it, but that he views it the way he does, that it's not just about, you know, speed, size, and strength. It's about technique, because he is, you know, or at least at his height, he was a craftsman, not just a guy.
Norman now gets to play with Fred Warner. When asked about what he sees in the young linebacker, he said,
"His voice echoes through the front and the back end, and what he's calling, he automatically knows what's going on. He shows up with a vengeance. He getting to the point where he's starting to read where people are going to be. And Fred has that here. With the Bulls that they have up front, we have up front now, or he really ain't going to be able to touch. He's just going to be in those gaps because he's sound. He's a sound, solid football player, and he has speed in that kills when you go inside to side. Just his mindset of the game, he's elevating. He's still on that path to getting to that point. We haven't seen the best of Fred Warner yet, I'm telling you. He's just, sky's the limit for the guy. It really is."
Again, if we haven't seen the best of Fred Warner yet, may God have mercy on the football players that do, because he is a heat-seeking missile. From the minute he joined the league, from his very first game, he looked like he was an 8-year NFL vet, and he continues to just get better and better and better every single time he takes the field. Now, what you don't normally expect is older cornerbacks looking good when they're out there. Again, Josh Norman is a guy they signed off the street. No other NFL team was that interested. He talked about how older corners get scrutinized.
The age thing for a cornerback, they always get scrutinized, that you're old age, like you're 33 or 34, still people think they can get one over on you. No, you just become more savvy in the game. That's all it does, is just build your knowledge of the game. Who would want expert to be on the field guarding another expert? I don't know, just think about it. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we see more ball than guys on the team. So it's just, you know, we know what it looks like. And when you do that, you go out there and you give us, you know, a fighting chance. And I just hope, and not hope, but I know that we have a team that, you know, just hungry to compete. And when you got that, don't matter if you 21 or just coming into the league or you 35, still at the end of it, you're going to be where you want to be at the end of the day because you got guys who's hungry.
You know, I don't know if Josh Norman would work out for a team that didn't have much of a defensive pass rush, but you can have a guy who might have lost a little foot speed and backpedal and hip swivel and all the techniques that we put on young corners and what they do so well, and have a little experience back there, because there's a huge difference in this league defending for 3 or 4 seconds than 5 or 6 seconds.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Julio Jones would be a difficult matchup for him, just because that is the one thing that 33-year-old cornerbacks tend to have trouble with, which is size, speed, and strength. But he can outthink those guys. And that's why he's still pursued. And that's why if he has to start a game or two or five, I don't know that the 49ers will miss a lot.
I feel better than him already than I do with Dante Johnson snaps.
Well,
low bar to clear.
Grotto out there than Dante Johnson at this point. But
wait. Whoa.
Talk about hip swivel.
Saying, I've seen you move around the stage. When it's 5.54, raise as fast as anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, but that's straight line speed.
It is.
That's true.
It is.
You should really see more of a sprinter.
Pumping his arms, getting down the hallway.
No, but listen, that concept that he just explained there, right? Sure, I'm older. Sure, I'm not as fast, but I know more. Clearly, that's the 49ers' view of the cornerback position, because Richard Sherman, I mean, Josh Norman's not a huge investment, but one of the first big investments they made was in Richard Sherman coming off an Achilles injury.
Right.
They knew he wasn't going to be, even if he had the best possible recovery from that at age like 32, he wasn't going to be the same Richard Sherman physically. They believed that what he knew would overcome what he could do physically. And I think that speaks to how they see the cornerback position, which is really as guys meant to hold the line while we go hit the quarterback.
One more from Josh Norman when he was asked, what's it like to be old man River on the defense?
I really don't even feel like I'm 33, and I sure the heck don't act like it. I'm thinking I'm one of the guys there until, you know, have Emery in there who just turned 20. So I had to look at it like, bro, I'm really 13 years old, and that's sick. About to be 14, but who's really counting? But no, I really don't look at it that way. I look at it as, I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. You guys been here. I just freshly got here 2 weeks ago, so I'm really trying to, you know, fit in the sense of you show me the way instead of I showing you the way. And I can show you on certain things that I've been, you know, part of and in different places and seen so much ball. But at the same time, you know, every place is different.
There you go. Feels young until you introduce him to a 20-year-old, and then maybe it doesn't feel so young. But look, there's nothing, including the game film and limited stuff that we've seen from Josh Norman, that I don't like right away. And we need to get this guy on the air sometime soon, Lucas. Put him higher on the priority list than we thought he would actually be. I mean, that was fantastic. And we had a great conversation with Deebo Samuel earlier this week, and we're going to go through that entire 49ers locker room before it's all said and done and talk to the voices that you're going to want to hear from. But that was really, really good stuff all the way from Josh Norman. And once again, Lucas, you can continue to victory lap your booking of Al Michaels. Well done, sir. This is Nick in Hayward. Nick, you're on 95.7 The Game. What do you got?
Just two things. First thing, long-time caller, long-time listener, first-time caller, but I wanted to comment on the rest that you guys are talking about. I feel like at this point they're just calling penalties because the NFL and the NBA, for that matter, wants to have their cake and eat it too. They want to promote the offense, but at the same time pretend like things are balanced. But the main thing I wanted to call about is the fact that you guys are talking about the Raiders. Coming into this season, I didn't believe that when I would hear analysts say that the Raiders might actually pull it off this year, but the biggest thing about this year is, yeah, Derek Carr has had more pass yards than any Raiders QB in the first two games in history. But the thing is, they actually have a halfway decent offense. And Ray was talking about the fact that in December, the Raiders had just fallen apart. Darn right. The 2016 was the worst Christmas I've ever had as a Raiders fan, getting Derek Carr's leg snapped when they looked like they were going to be a for sure number one playoff seed. And then last year, they had 10 players disappear to the COVID list. So it looks like they may actually keep it going, but the fact that they have a defense that's actually somewhat contributing is just awesome. But okay,
Nick, thank you for the call, man. When you have a defensive line putting pressure on another team's quarterback, all of a sudden everybody starts looking better. This is a theory that the 49ers hope bears itself out each and every game this year. Max Crosby is having an awesome start to his year. Having said that, you are a Max Crosby injury away from that bad December for sure. A lot of teams can't afford to lose their best pass rusher.
Ask the 49ers how that goes.
Yeah, it's just not a good proposition. So, look, if you're a Raider fan, you got to be excited that you started 2-0. If you think 2-0 means AFC West champions, there's a lot of football between now and the end of the year, and your experience as a Raider fan should tell you that the rug does get pulled out from underneath you more than it does remain under your feet, giving you a great place to stand.
Also, quietly, the AFC West is excellent.
It is.
I mean, the Broncos are good. Who saw that coming? Teddy Bridgewater's throwing it twice the distance that Jimmy Garoppolo has on the season so far. His depth of target is literally like double what Jimmy is doing. So it's a hard job to win either of the Western divisions in
the NFL.
He'll
be better
right
when he
now.
Reels it in just a little, the way I think Jimmy will be better when he starts letting it go just a little.
I think that's probably true.
Well, although in fairness, the Broncos beat the Giants and the Jaguars. They have a showdown this weekend against the Jets.
It's a nice early season schedule.
It's a great early season.
Makes you really comfortable in your new spot.
It's literally as though you opened up with Syracuse and Liberty.
Yeah, that's disrespectful to Syracuse.
Not to mention Liberty.
The first thing he said, weird thing to slip in now, but we're about to go to a break, so maybe we can spend 2 minutes on it. He's right, obviously, that the NBA and NFL have both sort of prioritized offensive success at the incredible unfair exclusion of like opportunity for defense to do its job. The NBA is trying to address that, and that's one of the things I'm super interested in seeing in the beginning part of the year. They allegedly, this offseason, installed rules to make some of the foul-seeking behaviors not rewarded, and in fact, in some cases, penalized. So I am actually really interested in seeing if it works. Like, are they actually going to call guys for leaning in on offense? Because that stuff it became an epidemic over the last couple of years, and it makes the game less fun to watch.
I would agree.
Go ahead.
No, I would agree. You know what one thing I'd like to see the NBA say? Okay, defense, we're going to give you this back. Hand checking.
Yeah, that would help.
They got to let guys put hands on guys again. Guys on hips. Control them a little bit instead of trying to rub them all over. And
you don't have to go all the way back to, like, you could just grab a guy by the jersey on the perimeter. But having a handout to just, like, locate a guy, I think there's got to be a way to bring that back.
The hand checking thing, no, because teams are great at figuring, we can hand check now? This is going to be football again.
Yeah.
But the other thing, though, and the more interesting thing, is not will they enforce those rules in December.
Right.
Will they enforce them in March?
In May.
Yeah. Well, if you enforce them in March, by then you've established 5 months of that.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest flaw with all the points of emphasis things. It's they start off good, and then eventually there are either so many complaints that the new rule is not working or that guys will start cheating to get those advantages back and the referees will stop. Go, well, I'm not going to have a 60 foul game tonight. Yeah. Sorry. That's the trick, is to make things that seem like good ideas stay good ideas 6 months after you put them in.
Niners and Packers predictions. We're officially going to put it all out on the table for you in our final segment. We're going to tell you about what a big day in music history it actually is. And the sporting event that I think officially matters less in my lifetime than it ever has. That's how we're going to wrap up today's show. And we'll remind you to tune in every Monday from 6 to 7. We got Sean Salisbury and Lorenzo Neal for the Football Hour, presented by Livermore Casino, located on 1st Street in Livermore, offering Vegas-style blackjack, three-card poker, Baccarat, Texas Hold'em, the Tri-Valley's place to play in downtown Livermore. Please play responsibly. When we come on back, we'll see if Matt Kolsky's microphone wants to throw anything else at us here in the studio, and we'll put a nice cherry on top of this Friday so you can enjoy your Sunday here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Demon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Elevate Your Tailgate is back this season with the Morning Roast's very own Joe and Bonte. Check out the latest episode right now at 95.7thegame.com. All the appropriate social media channels. Elevate Your Tailgate with Charles Woodson's Intercept Wines. Look for it at your local retailer or visit interceptwines.com and have it delivered to your door. All right, gentlemen. We got ourselves Packers, 49ers, Sunday Night Football. Niners are laying 3 points, and the over-under is 50.5. Do we want to go? How about this? Let me start us off. 49ers win, cover, and the under hits. 24-17, low scoring, slobber knocker, kind of ugly at times. It's the way the Niners, I think, win this game. 24-17, that means 41. That's the under and a cover.
I think you're right. First of all, you're right because the money is going toward the Packers, which means I want to go the other way because I hate the public. Also, the under has been hitting at an unusual rate. I don't see why that should change. So I'm going to say 24-9.
Nine. Wow. I'm going to go the other direction. Give me the number again, over under.
50.5.
Yeah, I'm going over. Just. But definitely over. To answer Ray's question, why would this week be different? Well, Aaron Rodgers is really good. You know, and even if the Niners defense is pretty good, Devontae Adams is going to be open at some point on Sunday. And I think they will score points. I really think in terms of their offense, week one was the aberration. In terms of their defense, I don't think week one was an aberration at all. And I think this is also the week where, forget us, because he doesn't care about us. But if Jimmy Garoppolo keeps not throwing the ball over 10 yards the whole season, the whole team's going to lose faith. Like that. They're watching Trey Lance in practice every day. And I can't believe the team is going to continue to support a quarterback when the coach doesn't see fit to have him throw downfield. And the Packers are rife with opportunities to throw downfield, even
ripe,
if you're Jared Goff.
Ripe or rife?
Rife with.
Rife with.
Yeah, they are also ripe in terms of being stinky in the secondary.
There
so I expect the 49ers to put up points. They scored, 41? Week one?
Mm-hmm.
Are we sure?
Yeah, 34
this...
if you want to take away the pick six.
Okay. But are we sure this is a better Packers defense? I'm not.
There you go. Place your bets. Good luck to anyone who does make a bet. Remember, all bets are action, but this is just for entertainment purposes. You know
not
what isn't
for me,
really
it's not.
For entertainment purposes anymore? The Ryder Cup. That went from being like a really big deal in my life to nobody even cares. That thing has disintegrated right in front of our eyes. The 2021 Ryder Cup got underway today. I mean, yeah, I could tell you who Ryder Cup captains were my entire life and childhood. I got it right here. It's Patrick Harrington and Steve Stricker, but
oof.
There you go. Ryder
Steve
Cup.
Stricker.
What happened, Ray, to the Ryder Cup? You got 10 seconds.
Tiger Woods.
Ruined
He's
everything.
He's not there anymore.
There you go. Okay.
he wasn't there when Damon was a kid either, but fair enough.
I don't think Damon was that locked into the Ryder Cup as a child.
He was just saying.
For Seve Ballesteros, man. I was on Team Europe as a kid. Infidel.
Wow. Patriotic.
Wow.
Seve. My dad was a Seve guy, so I was a Seve kid. Today, what's today? September. Yeah. September 24th, 1991. I'm glad that The Ringer did a profile on this today. It is a massive day in music history.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, there used to be a world where if you wanted an album, it was a choice. Were you going to spend $18 to $25 on a CD? There was no a la carte shopping. There was no downloading. First of all, you had to go to a record store, make the record, you know, you make the effort to go there, and do you want the whole album? You couldn't pick this song, that song, and that's it.
You could get a single, but not, it's not like it is now.
Today, 30 years ago, all coming out on the same day, Nirvana's Nevermind, A Tribe Called Quest, Low End Theory,
oh, yeah.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sex Magic. Blood Sugar Sex Magic, thank you very much. Soundgarden's Bad Motor Finger, and a Pixies album called Trompe Le Monde, which doesn't have Where Is My Mind on it. So it's not even the very important Pixies album, but Pixies are an important band, so they get to be on the list. But there you go. That is a massive, massive, massive afternoon, and I would rank them Low End Theory number one, Blood Sugar Sex Magic at two, Nirvana three. I know that's controversial, followed by Soundgarden. I wouldn't even have bought that Pixies album, and I didn't. But that would be
UMass is on that Pixies album, University.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where they're from.
Of Massachusetts.
There you go.
Great song.
Ray, how do you feel about the Pixies, Nirvana, Tribe Called Quest, or the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Give me the Tribe Called Quest anytime.
I mean, Low End Theory is one of the great albums of all time. You're clearly right that that's number one. And as much as I love Nevermind, and as seminal as that album is, Blood Sugar Sex Magic, a very underrated
album. Monster. It's a monster.
Really, if you've ever liked Red Hot Chili Peppers, that's the one.
But back in the day when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager,
you could find the abstract listening to hip-hop.
What
Pops used to say.
It reminded him of bebop. I said, well, Daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Okay, we got to go. That's terrible. Is that the coolest moment of the show or the singular whitest moment of the show?
Simultaneously, 'twas both.
Thank you.
35 seconds, we can't get back.
Thank you very much to Brian Baldinger, to Bart Winkler for joining us. Somebody named Al Michaels stopped on by too. Well done, Lucas. And stick around because Michelle Tafoya is joining the final word. Coming up in just a little bit, it was a pleasure joining you today. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back on Monday to recap it all. In the meantime, remember that sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.